Bruno Mancer walked into the forest alone. He carried a backpack stuffed with 20 pounds of rice, a rain tarp, a hammock, a fishing net, a few shorts and t-shirts, pens, watercolors, a sketchbook, a machete, a carbide caving headlamp, a 1-to-100,000 scale map of Sarawak, and a compass. It was June 1984, and as he left Gunung Mulu National Park, on the Malaysian side of Borneo, and hiked into the most spectacular virgin rainforest on Earth, he had only the vaguest idea where he was going or for how long. He was days beyond any roads or airports, and no cell or satellite communications devices would be available for years to come. "Once more," he wrote in his journal, "my soul is amazed." He was 30 years old. To the north, a few miles in a straight line, stood Gunung Mulu, Sarawak's second highest peak, reaching a misty, rain-shrouded 7,000 feet. To the east, the direction he headed, rose forest-covered mountains and ever-higher steppes, the headwaters of the rivulets and streams that tumbled out of Borneo's central plateau to become mighty rivers like the Rejang and the Kapuas and the Mahakam, rivers so big you could sail a ship up them for hundreds of miles before hitting surging rapids, gateways protecting inner, hidden worlds. Somewhere in those mountain headwaters lived the Pinon, and he was going to find them. The forest was not, for the most part, the low, green, humid tangle that most people imagine when they think of a tropical jungle, but an ancient primary landscape of hardwood trees soaring 100 feet tall, some of them 15 feet in diameter, with huge buttress roots that could dwarf a man. Beneath that high green canopy lay a cool, dim, shadowed place of smaller trees and shrubs fighting for what light reached the always moist forest floor, soft and spongy from untold millennia of rot and decay, sprouting mushrooms and wet leaves and rotting logs and moss and ferns, the whole a seething soup of life. The forest smelled of damp and old wood, the smell of death, but also of life. The age of this place he was entering was hard to conceive. Southeast Asia's forests are the oldest on Earth, 180 million years, and when much of Africa and the Amazon became dry savannas, the woods of Southeast Asia retained their hot, wet climates. Borneo, when it rose from the sea 130 million years ago, was colonized by those ancient forests. Without substantive changes in climate or seismic activity, the environment into which Bruno was walking had remained stable, intact, pristine, unchanged for years. The tropical rainforests are one of the most complex ecosystems that ever evolved on this planet, writes Berute Galdikas, who spent 40 years studying orangutans in Borneo. Nourished by the unyielding heat and high rainfall that prevail at the equator, these forests have been the crucible of evolution, spawning increasingly specialized forms of life, inhabiting ever more narrow niches. She adds, "The term cathedral forest is used as a metaphor to suggest that great woods are like great medieval churches. But I have often felt that this is backward, that the stone cathedrals are a recreation of the forests where our distant ancestors once lived. This is why they strike a chord deep within us. The soaring ceilings of a medieval cathedral, the cool, damp air, the dark, punctuated by beams of brilliant light colored by stained glass windows, mimic our ancient home, our Garden of Eden. A walk in the rainforest is a walk into the mind of God." Bruno Mancer was a newcomer to this tropical landscape. He had left Switzerland 6 months earlier, on January 4th, flying from Zurich to Bangkok, working his way south by train and bus, just another Western backpacker, it would seem, wandering through Asia. But little was ordinary about Bruno. On the train, he climbed up on its roof and jumped between the cars. He wandered off the road straight through rice paddies and slept under the stars. He explored Thai caves filled with millions of bats, closing his eyes to feel their vibrations, marveling at gigantic spiders. In one, he spotted a strange-looking, 6-foot-long white snake. He was fascinated with serpents, couldn't keep his hands off them, had been haunted by dreams of them since he was a child. Heedlessly, he grabbed its tail, forced its head to the ground, and picked it up. "It was nice meeting you," he said, letting it go. He slept alone in that cave, screaming joyously when he felt the wind from a bat's wings on his face.